Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU second quarter 2017 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for joining us today. I am here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first half and second quarter of 2017, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the investor relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the financial information section. If it doesn't pop up right away, try selecting the year and the quarter. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. Just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. With that, we can begin. We posted our results for the first half and second quarter of 2017 on Tuesday afternoon. On a consolidated basis, we reported net income of 5.6 billion pesos for the half and 600 million pesos for the quarter. EBITDA totaled 66 billion pesos for the half, 7.5% higher than last year, and 31 billion pesos for the quarter, 5.3% higher than last year. EBITDA margin grew 30 basis points in the first half to 5.5% and 20 basis points in the second quarter to 5.2%. Revenues grew 2.3% in the first half to 1,216 billion pesos, and they grew 1.7% in the quarter to 602 billion pesos. On slides three and four, we have more detail on revenue. Starting on slide three, as I just mentioned, we had consolidated revenue growth of 2.3% in the first half and 1.7% in the quarter. Broken down by segment, food retail revenue grew 2.9% in the first half of the year and 2.2% in the second quarter. This is a lower growth rate than we have seen in recent years, and it's a continuation of the trend that we saw in the first quarter. Slower growth is something we're seeing in this industry in general, partly explained by lower food inflation during the first half of this year. Given the current macro trends, including the appreciation in the exchange rate, we believe this may continue in the coming months. Our revenue growth in this segment was driven by Unimarc, with 4.5% growth in the half and 3.5% in the quarter. Our construction materials segment had lower revenues, down 3.1% in the half and 3.0% in the quarter, which reflects deceleration in the industry due to the performance of the Chilean economy, which we also saw during the first quarter. There was a particularly high comparison base in the beginning of 2016 related to the effects of tax reform on the real estate sector, which positively affected our B2B business last year. Whereas this year, the industry is weaker than usual, so the lower revenues reflect the combined effect of those factors. On this slide, we can also see gross margin, which increased 90 basis points in the first half and 70 basis points in the second quarter. This increase is partly due to greater commercial efficiency and partly due to the increase in our internal restocking services and in our centralized distribution. Just as a reminder, when we say centralized distribution, we mean the distribution of products through our distribution centers, as opposed to the products being delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. Higher levels of centralization lead to higher distribution costs, which are reflected in operating expenses, but that impact is offset by the fee that we charge suppliers for providing these logistics services, and that impact is reflected in the gross profit. On the next slide, we have a more visual breakdown to explain revenue growth in the first half of this year. On the far left, we have the comparison with the revenues for the first half of last year, around 1,216 billion pesos, which is not to scale. The trends in the different business lines are very similar to what we saw in the first quarter. The most important change year over year comes from our Unimarc supermarkets, which account for 63% of consolidated revenue and 70% of food retail revenue. Revenue for that format grew 4.5% in the first half of the year. You can also see a negative impact in our cash and carry format. In this format, we have two brands, Aldi, which is the more traditional cash and carry or wholesale format, whose customers are mostly mom and pop type neighborhood stores, and Mayorista 10, which is in a transition process as we shift the focus of its value proposition from mom and pop to final customers. Aldi's performance has been solid with growing sales, but this is offset by lower sales from Mayorista 10. As the new value proposition for Mayorista 10 matures, we do expect to see an improvement in sales. We have some growth in the convenience and e-grocery businesses, and in our food retail operations in Peru, we have significant revenue growth, 18% in the half, although this business does account for less than 2% of consolidated revenue. This growth is partly due to the implementation of a new strategy, taking advantage of synergies with our Chilean operations. We started to see a strong improvement in sales during the fourth quarter of last year, and that has continued. There was also an additional impact due to higher sales volumes in the first quarter because of the flooding that affected Peru in March. Since we have cash and carry stores there, we saw a lot of big volume purchases given these circumstances. And finally, as I mentioned before, the construction materials business had lower revenues in the half, which is in line with performance in the industry overall. However, while ConstruMart had lower revenues in its B2B business, it did grow revenues to retail customers by 7%. Which is part of the strategy for this business. On the next slide, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter performance for the food retail segment. These indicators reflect the same trends that we have been seeing in revenue. Overall growth of 2.6% in same-store sales in the half and 2.2% in the quarter, which is lower than we have seen in recent periods, with strong performance for Unimarc, with 4.0% in the half and 3.3% in the quarter. And for Peru, with 16.8% in the half and 11.5% in the quarter, as well as OK Market, with 5.5% in the half and 4.8% in the quarter, and weaker performance for the cash and carry format, with -1.9% in the half and -1.2% in the quarter, related to Mayorista 10. Sales per square meter grew 3.0% for the half and 2.8% for the quarter, which is also lower than in recent years, but in line with revenue growth and industry performance. On slide 6, we have operating expenses, which are distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX, as a percentage of revenue, increased 60 basis points in the first half to 21.8% and 50 basis points in the quarter to 22.2%. The most significant increase is in personnel expenses, which account for just about half of our administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Personnel expenses increased by 6.8% in the first half, and this was due to higher average headcount, which is partly explained by the increase in centralized distribution, as well as inflation adjustments to salaries and an increase in the minimum wage. Distribution expenses increased 8.4%, which is mainly related to the increase in centralized distribution. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, this quarter we made further progress in increasing our rate of centralized distribution. Last year, we had an average of 42.5%, and in the first half of this year, we had 45.6%, as we've incorporated new agreements with suppliers. This allows us to be more efficient in our inventory management, and it also has a positive impact on our in-store product availability. On slide 7, we have our EBITDA and EBITDA margin, which grew during both the half and the quarter. Consolidated EBITDA grew 7.5% in the first half, for a total of 66 billion pesos. In the second quarter, EBITDA grew up 5.6% to 31 billion pesos. The consolidated EBITDA margin grew from 5.2% in the first half of last year to 5.5% for the first half of this year, reflecting the fact that gross margin increased more than operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. In the quarter, margin grew from 5.0% to 5.2%. On slide number 8, we have the EBITDA broken down by business. At the top of the slide, we have the food retail segment, where EBITDA grew 9.1% in the first half, with a margin expansion from 5.6% to 5.9%. In the second quarter, EBITDA grew 8.6% and and EBITDA margin increased from 5.3% to 5.6%. In the construction material segment, EBITDA fell 27.2% in the half and 58.2% in the quarter, and EBITDA margin also decreased from 2.2% to 1.7% in the half and from 2.3% to 1.0% in the quarter. On slide number 9, we have a look at net income. Although our operating results had improved, net income was lower in the first half of this year compared to the same period of last year, and that is mainly due to the impact of foreign currency translation differences. Last year, we had a much higher stock of dollar-denominated debt, because this year we have paid off dollar-denominated debt, and we have also fully hedged our international bonds with a cross-currency swap. In addition, the appreciation of the Chilean peso was higher last year than it was in the first 6 months of this year. Therefore, last year there was a higher rate effect from the appreciation and a higher base effect from the higher stock of dollar-denominated debt. And consequently, we had a much higher gain on foreign currency translation differences last year, 19 billion pesos more. That effect was partially offset by a non-recurring loss that we recorded in the second quarter of last year related to impairment of accounts receivable associated with the sale of Supermercado Figueres. That generated a pre-tax loss of 4.5 billion pesos last year. On the next slide, we have an update on Plan CIMA, which is our strategic plan for the 2017 to 2019 period. The plan has six strategic pillars, including customer experience, operating efficiency, organizational excellence, sustainability, technological development, and financial strengthening. With respect to customer experience, one of our most important initiatives is upgrading the group of our Unimarc supermarkets. At the end of the second quarter, we began work on the first four stores. Another customer experience initiative is related to loyalty programs. In January, we launched Club Ahorro Unimarc, which is a customer loyalty program for our Unimarc supermarkets. Since we launched the program, we have been able to identify over 7 million customers. We think this will be a powerful tool to further optimize our promotional strategy by understanding our customers' needs and preferences. And by using direct marketing, we believe that we will be able to reduce our advertising expenses over time. In July, we launched a loyalty program for our Mayorista 10 stores, the Club del Precio, or Price Club. True to its name, this club focuses on the low-cost value proposition of this format. With respect to operating efficiency, as I mentioned before, we achieved a rate of centralized distribution of 45.6% in the first half of this year, up from 42.5% in 2016 and 44.5% in the first quarter. We've also been rolling out the training program related to standardization of in-store processes, and our target is to have 100% of these initiatives implemented in 60 stores by year end. Finally, yesterday we had some good news from one of our local rating agencies, Feller Rates, which changed the outlook on our rating from stable to positive. Since September of last year, all five of our credit rating agencies have upgraded our rating. On slide 11, you can see how the composition of our debt has changed since the end of last year as a result of the IPO in January, hedge of our international bond in March, and local bond placement in April. We had total debt as of June 30, 2017, of approximately 860 billion pesos, which is approximately $1.4 billion. That total number includes approximately 260 billion pesos, or $400 million, in financial leases, which are mostly store rental agreements that qualify as financial leases under IFRS. For purposes of showing the breakdown of our financial debt, we have excluded them here in the pie charts on the left, but they are included in the net debt to EBITDA calculation on the right, in order to provide a more conservative figure. The IPO and bond placement have enabled us to repay some of our most expensive debt, which should generate savings in interest expenses going forward. In the pie chart at the top of the slide, you can see that we have paid off all of our related party debt. At the bottom of the slide, you can see that we have significantly reduced our US dollar denominated debt through paying down debt and by hedging the international bonds. On the bottom right, you can see that we have reduced net debt to EBITDA from 8.1 times at the end of 2015 to 6.6 times at the end of 2016 to 5.8 times at the end of the second quarter. The 5.8 is a slight increase from March when it was 5.7, and that is just related to the seasonality of this business. We plan to continue deleveraging this year and next. Finally, on slide 12, we have a summary of the main movements in cash during the first half of this year. Sources of cash include operating cash, IPO proceeds, bond proceeds, and some new short-term debt that we have taken on in the second quarter to cover working capital needs. The main use of cash has been to pay debt. We paid the Series B local bond that matured in May, which was around 55 billion pesos, approximately 95 billion pesos in related party debt, as well as other financial debt, including a portion of the syndicated loan payment that was due in June. We paid around 5 billion pesos, and we received an extension on the balance due, which is around 24 billion pesos, because two of the banks in the syndicate, who represented about 50% of the total amount of the loan, had proposed a change to the maturity profile of the loan, and the remaining banks in the syndicate needed time to evaluate the proposal. In the end, the decision was to maintain the existing conditions, and the balance due was paid this week. The other main items on the graph, we had interest payments of 32 billion pesos, capex of approximately 11 billion pesos, and other, which is mainly working capital due to the seasonality of the business. On capex, our guidance remains in the 30 to 35 billion peso range for this year, so we should see more capex in the second half of this year. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question comes from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Two questions. Caroline, you mentioned the remodeling of stores. Can you just give us more color? How many stores do we expect to be remodeled this year and next year? And what's the ultimate goal of how many stores to be remodeled? And second, regarding margin gains, as you mentioned, top-line growth has been slowing down, and you expect that to continue probably in the short term. How comfortable is the company with further margin gains over the next few quarters, given a slower top-line growth?
Okay. Hi, Alonso. The first question about of the remodeling store, the target for this year is to remodel 10 stores. Probably we will finish the last two stores in the first quarter 2018. And we keep the target for the next year, 30 stores per year for the next 4 years, 2018, And so on. In fact, in the end of September, the idea is to finish 4 stores. Therefore, we will have a result or the first result in the end of this year of these stores. The second question is about the margins. Of course, the lower growth of sales no doubt affect the dilution of the expenses and produce more difficult improvement in sort of the EBITDA margin. But anyway, the company have been developing a lot of operational initiative in the stores as part of the CIMA plan, reducing the expenses in the most of lines, except the salaries, of course, because in Chile we had an increase of the minimum salary. But in the rest of the expenses, we are working in the important reduction and efficiency plan. And for this reason, in spite of the lower growth and lower dilution of expenses, we reduced expenses significantly, keeping the target of our EBITDA margin for the end of this year, improving 30 basis points in the first half of 2017. And we are confident that will be possible to increase a little bit more our EBITDA margin in the second half of this year, essentially for our efficiency plan, because we are we are projecting that the supermarket industry will be growing lower than the previous year, because the food inflation is lower, and for the exchange rate effect, probably in the next year, the general inflation and also the food inflation will be not so important than the previous year. But anyway, we are efficiency planning through the expenses will allow to the company improve the EBITDA margin in the second half of this year.
Okay, thank you for that, Arturo. So for the full year, you think 30 basis points of EBITDA margin improvement is that your target?
Yes, for the full year. Yeah, I think it's possible to keep this improvement in the second half.
Great, thank you.
But don't forget, the second half in terms of the EBITDA is better in absolute numbers because it's for the seasonality of the business. And for this reason, it's possible to dilute more expenses in the second half of the year than the first half of the year.
Great. Thank you, Arturo.
But the level of the sales in the second half is higher.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We hope to have you with us next quarter. Have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.